You're listening to your Tabo podcast.
A podcast.
You are listening to your podcast.
You are listening to the Tabo podcast. Welcome to the Tabo podcast. Follow us at the Tabo podcast on IG and Twitter. Review us, rate us, love us, talk with us, hug us. Anyways, we're back. How have all of you been doing? I've had another busy week. By the way, so school's, you know, started for everyone, I guess, in school. And because I'm a parent, that matters to me now, you know? After college, I was like, I'm done with school. I'm never thinking about it's vacation forever. But now that I'm a dad, you know, when Haru goes to school, I'm basically going to school too. So this funny thing happened. So apparently they're going to do like a dress up day. And the theme is, superheroes, because I'm, you know, everyone's like into superheroes now. So they're going to do a superhero day and everyone, I guess, comes as their favorite superhero. And some of her friends, like Haru's friends, are going to come as Mantis, you know, from Avengers, from Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm sure there's going to be a 100 Tony Starks and like 50 like Captain Americas and some Thors. And so Haru was telling me, and I was reading the newsletter, I was like, oh, so it's like a superhero day. Like, what do you want to go as? And she's like thinking, and she's like, Daddy, I have the greatest idea. And I'm like, okay. And she always, she has many of these greatest ideas, like at least 3-4 times a day, right? She'll like wake me up sometimes. She'll be like, Daddy. And I'm like, it's like 6-7 in the morning, like on a weekend. And I'm like, what? She's like, I have the greatest idea. And I'm like, oh, what is it? She's like, you know, we get a cat, we get like 4 cats, and then we'll have 4 cats. And I'll be like, is that really the idea that you woke me up for? But anyway, so she's like, I have the greatest idea. And I was like, okay, what could it be? So I'm like, what? And she's like, I want to go as the blip or the blipped. And I'm like, what do you mean? And she's like, so I will go as the blipped. Like, Thanos snapped, and we disappeared. And I'm like, so you're saying you're going to skip school. You're not going to be there. And she's like, exactly. Brilliant. Just throwing out great ideas into the world. Some kids are listening right now, and they're like, Daddy, Mommy, I'm going as the blipped. And she also pointed out that in the movies, they come back 5 years later. And I was like, Haru, that's not going to happen. What are you talking about? You're not going to be blipped for 5 years and then go back to school like in, what, 2024. That's not going to happen, right? I'm going to be arrested. So, anyways, she's thinking of different alternatives, but I am going to let her go as the blipped. So, basically, I'm going to let her skip school. Because it's such a great idea. It's got to be done. And I will have some of her friends tell the teacher that Haru's been blipped. But her dad is working on bringing her back. Anyways, also, I've been sitting in on some job interviews recently. Because, you know, I am, Epic High's company is like an independent company, as I mentioned, and we're running everything ourselves. So we need, you know, all the help we can get. So we have to hire like a new employee. And I've been sitting in on some job interviews, and some of these interviews are like crazy. And I'm glad I mentioned the blipped. Because that's been happening a lot. I don't know if this is a phenomenon that's like happening everywhere else. And or if it's happening just to me, I'm getting a lot of no shows. Okay? Which is really weird because they applied for the job. Like, they wanted this job. So what has happened, like, this has happened twice now. You know, we decide to meet somewhere for the interview, and you know, one of our, you know, people will call the person the night before and be like, okay, are we on for tomorrow? Like, you know, we're just doing it as out of courtesy, right? It's not even them calling to make sure we'll show up. Like, we are calling them to make sure they will show up. And if they wanted to, you know, if they, something came up, we would, you know, accommodate them. And we're just trying to be nice. And we get to the interview, and, you know, the person's not there. And like 5-10 minutes passes and still not showing up. So we call, they don't pick up their phone. And then we text. And what happened was we texted and they responded, who is this? And we're like, dude, we are, you know, Ours is the name of our company. And we're like, we're from Ours. You have a job interview today. Like, did you forget? We talked about this yesterday. And they're like, oh, I applied there too? I have another interview today. So like, can we push it back? And we're like, what a great way to try to get a job, right? Because, so that person's out. And we're like, you know, we took our time, you know, we took time out of our day to be there. And then another thing happened where this dude, we called and, you know, didn't show up. We called and he picks up the phone and he's like, oh, I'm sick. And I'm like, and our employee's like, well, why didn't you tell us? Like, if you woke up this morning and you felt sick, why didn't you tell us? We would accommodate, you know, you. And they're like, oh, I'm really sick. Can we do this like next week? And I'm like, yeah, it's just okay. It's okay. Just tell them it's fine and just, you know, good luck with your job hunt, your job search. And yeah, I don't get it. I really don't get it. And twice this has happened. And it's like we're out there and then we're like, what do we do now? Like, you know, we're already out here. Like, and then we have like a meeting where we have no talking points, you know, we have nothing to talk about. And then we just drink some coffee and then we go home. But it's like 2 days wasted, right? They're early 20s, at the most mid 20s. And anyways, like, you know, I hate like no shows at restaurants and stuff like that. And I get why restaurant owners or chefs, you know, get so upset about the no-show thing. Because it's like, you wanted the job. You know, we asked you when is good for you. And, you know, we wanted to give you an opportunity to work with us. And you wanted it until it was like right in your face. And then, you know, not showing up and not letting us know. I don't know. That has happened. And I've actually done quite a bit of like job interview things. When I was running a label a few years ago, I also did job interviews there. And at some point I actually said, I actually delegated it to someone else. Cause I was like, I'm not sure that I'm a good person to be, sitting there, because I've had some weird, like some weird job interviews. There are certain, you know, like they overdress for the occasion is what I mean. Like, no, I'm not just saying like a suit. Okay. Like one person was I guess like, you know, very eager to get the job. And, apparently like, saw like some of our like cosplaying like online, like Epikai does a lot of cosplay, and So he dressed up as like some like character, I guess, from like a movie, but I couldn't recognize it because it wasn't very well done, and it made the chemistry of the job interview very, very weird. But you know, like, it could be a plus if that person was qualified, I guess, like, you know, having a sense of humor. Also, I call this guy the anarchist. This guy came into a job interview once, and he was like, he was just very dark. Like, he came in and he's like, I've had it with the way the record industry is. With all these companies, we have to rage against that machine. And he's like, I am ready to be like a soldier for you so we can crush these other labels. And I'm like, whoa, intense, right? And, you know, but that kind of like fervor is sometimes good. So I'm like, okay, but some of the labels you are mentioning, because you're saying we have to crush all these other labels, some of these labels are like run by my friends. You know, the artists are like my personal friends. Like, I don't want to destroy other people to, you know. And he's like, then we will crush every label other than that label. And I'm like, okay, selective intensity, right? And he's like, and he's flat out told me, like, he's not good with authority. Like, he's not gonna take shit from anyone. And I'm like, is he talking about me as well? Oh God. And you know, it was too intense, and it got me to thinking. You know, I've never really been in a job interview, and you know, my job interview was very different. You know, I had to write a bunch of songs, work really hard to make them good, make an album, make a band, and then basically be in a job interview until we made it, right? You know, every performance, every album drop was a job interview until, you know, we were accepted by a fandom, basically. So my job interview lasted like 2-3 years, but I've never been in like a formal job interview. So I know that it's very unnerving, you know, anxiety ridden, and it must be the most difficult thing to do, to have to explain to somebody, like a complete stranger, who you are and why you would add value in like that short of a time, right? But I've always been sitting on the other end of, you know, the other chair, where I'm like sitting in on these job interviews and I have to evaluate these people. And I don't know, some of you that are listening right now are probably prepping for like a job interview and very nervous. I don't know what tips I can give.
Well, what were like the big things that made you go, oh, that's great?
Here's the thing. I don't know if other people will do this, but I really don't like looking at the resume. I just don't trust it, because it's a piece of paper where you have to write all the great things about you, right? And your livelihood is possibly on the line. And, you know, a lot of people say you're packing the resume. You're like, you know, you're exaggerating or flat out lying. But I wouldn't say that that's what it is. It's like, unless someone is, you know, like forging stuff. But I'm saying a little bit of exaggeration is you're just doing your best to, you know, to present yourself in a way where, unfortunately, the system is made so that you have to do that a little bit to get noticed, because everyone's qualified these days, right? But I stopped looking at like the resume or, you know, the you know, like the introductory, like some people write essays basically explaining themselves. And this one guy I worked with, one of his credits was like he was a very like he was very advanced in video editing and also creating like designing graphics, right? Designing images. It said it was very prominent on his resume. And we hired him, not for that role. It was for a different role, but that was one of his skills that he said he could do. So we hired him, and like a week or two into his, you know, his employment, there was something very simple that we needed, like a very simple image that we needed to make with like a date for something that is being, you know, released or something. And he was like, he asked me to do it. He was like, can you do this thing? And I was like, oh, I was going to actually ask you to do that. And he's like, oh, but I don't know how to do that. Like, I don't know how to make images. So I can't do it. And then I'm like, wait, huh? Did I read it wrong? So I took out the resume that I had in my, you know, cabinet. And I look and I'm like, wait, it says he's very advanced in like designing images and like, you know, Illustrator and like, and I'm like, what? And I showed it to Two Cuts. I'm like, Two Cuts, come to my room. I'm like, dude, he says he can't make this simple like thing, but on his resume, do you remember talking about this in the job interview? And he's like, yeah, I remember that. What? And I'm like, how do I ask him, right? Because I'm very like, you know, I'm kind of cautious about, because I don't know this person that well, right? I don't know if he's gonna, I don't know what he's like. So how do I ask him? Like, dude, did you lie? I don't want to do that. Like, so I went outside and I'm like, hey, like, so can you like edit videos and stuff? Like, cause we do a lot of YouTube videos sometimes, and like, sometimes we're going to have to like ask for help because, you know, it's really hard for me to do it on my own. And he's like, oh, I can learn that. Like, I don't know. I can learn it. And I was like, oh, dude, this guy forgot what he wrote on his resume. Right? It's possible that he wrote that for another job and then just reused the resume. And maybe he forgot that he wrote it on there. I don't know. But, you know, things like that have happened. So I don't really look at the resume. What I would look for, what I usually look for is just how that person makes me feel. Because at the end of the day, like regardless of what work we're going to have to do together or whatever partnership it becomes, I'm going to have to spend a lot of time with this person. And vice versa, this person's going to have to spend a lot of time with me. And what a lot of people get wrong about job interviews is it's not a one-way thing. It's not where like the employer is assessing the employee, the possible like potential employee. The employee also is using that person, you know, has to use that opportunity to assess whether they want to be with that person, right? Whether they want to be with the CEO or with these people that are sitting in front of them with that company in question. So, I always think about like, am I going to enjoy working with this person? Because if I do enjoy working with them and I like being around that person, you know, it's much easier to get something done. And also, you know, much easier to dream together, right? So I think, you know, people say like work on your first impression and stuff like that. But there's really no, you know, you can't fake that, really. I would advise you not to fake it because it shows, right? Just be yourself, and if you're a good fit, it'll work. And also, I would advise that you keep in mind that you're also assessing the person sitting in front of you. Don't feel like you're going into this test or you're going in to see if that company will like you. You have to first think about whether or not you will like that company, right? If they're asking like douchebaggy questions, right? Or just, you know, just generally, you know, acting like assholes. I mean, do you really want to impress them? Come on. So keep in mind that, like, you know, you're the one that's going to be providing help and service and, you know, providing your intuition, your knowledge, your experience, and your time, you know, to that person. So don't think that you're the one on the table. I don't know if you guys have heard, but the Joker is being made. The movie The Joker with Joaquin Phoenix, right? It's Joaquin Phoenix, right? Joaquin Phoenix. Okay. Because in Korea, we call him Joaquin Phoenix. So Joaquin Phoenix. Apparently, his rendition of The Joker, like, they're talking about, like, him possibly winning an Oscar. Okay? Which is a big deal because comic book films never get Oscars. They're never even considered. And that's why I was so happy that, you know, they acknowledged Heath Ledger the way they did. It was too late, but I'm glad they did because he did a fantastic job. And this movie hasn't come out yet. I've seen the trailer, and I don't trust trailers when they're too amazing. And this trailer was pretty amazing. So, you know, I like I mentioned before, I tend to not trust amazing trailers. But apparently, you know, from the buzz, there's Oscar buzz. Like, I hear that the film is fantastic. The acting is incredible. Because this Joker character is seriously, it's an iconic character. It's one of those characters, it's like a Hamlet character, right? Every actor, you know, I'm sure dreams about being the Joker. And, you know, every actor does it a different way. And you are, okay, once you do the Joker, there are a lot of eyes on you and, you know, judging your ability to act, you know. And because of that, it must have been a lot of pressure for Joaquin to do, right? Because Heath Ledger did a great job. Jack Nicholson, Jared Leto, let's not talk about at the moment. I still have not comprehended the complexities of that rendition. But yeah, Joker is actually one of my favorite characters. I think it's an incredible character because it's diabolical. It's an evil character that you can identify with for some reason, like especially Heath Ledger's Joker, because this was an evil, you know, obviously evil character, but he had a strange sense of a strange moral code, right? Which is very strange for such an immoral character to have. But, you know, he wouldn't do things for money. He wouldn't be, you know, he wouldn't let money move him in any way. You know, he literally burns like a pile of cash because he deserves, he thinks that Gotham deserves a better villain, you know, a better breed of villain, which is a strange, you know, moral code in a way. And, but anyways, it's an interesting character. They say this one, it has nothing to do with, any comic book. It was just treated like a character study about a man who becomes something like someone like the Joker. Like what it would take to drive a man to that point where he becomes, this chaotic monster, basically. And I'm interested to see, actually. I don't know. There are already debates about, like, oh, he's never going to top Heath Ledger's Joker. But what people forget is that when Christopher Nolan announced that he had casted Heath Ledger for the Joker role, do you know how much hate Heath Ledger got? It was like uncalled for. Like, people were like, dude, we had the Jack Nicholson Joker and now we're going to get Heath Ledger. Come on, like, is this going to be a rom-com? And there was just so much hate. They were like, this is miscasting. You know, he doesn't even look like the Joker. Like, nothing he's done in the past shows that he can be the Joker. You know, dude, the dude, amazing acting in Brokeback Mountain. I don't know if that was before Joker, but okay. Well, he's obviously a great actor, and that's, you know, what actors do is they take on roles that seemingly, you know, don't suit them, but, you know, kill it. That's what actors do. You're acting. But anyways, Heath Ledger got, you know, clowned on, pun intended, when he got announced. And then when the movie came out and, you know, he just kicked everyone's ass, basically. You know, it was just so well done. Everyone's like, oh my God, he's the greatest Joker ever. And now he's the standard for, comparing any future Jokers. And that's one of the things that, like, you know, in the age of, like, Twitter and IG and, like, just all this instant stuff, everyone feels the need to react to things, that everything, too many things are premature, like, reactions, right? Like, dude, the movie hasn't even come out yet. Like, when they announced Heath Ledger and everyone was like, yo, he's not right for this role. Dude, we have not seen a single clip. Like, what are we basing this on? Like, give it a minute. And then if it's bad, you know, we are actually talking about something that is physically there, you know, like there's evidence. Can we, like, hold on for a minute? But, you know, if I was running a film studio right now, like, it would be a difficult job, because you don't even, you know, before the movie comes out, everyone has made their mind up, because everyone feels the need to react. And literally, there is nothing there for you to react to yet, you know, except a name. Like, wait. And it must be very difficult for creators. What am I saying? I'm a creator, now that I think about it. And it's the same thing for music, too, actually. Like, increasingly, the name of the album and the name of songs, like the names of the songs, matter so much. Because even before we play a second of the music, people make up their minds about it. It's something that does happen. Like, if you have the greatest album ever, but the title seems kind of boring, you know, people will seriously be like, hey, I don't know. I don't think it's going to be like the dark music that I wanted, or, you know, the whatever, right? And so it does, like, creep into our creative process when we think about that, because people react to track lists now the way people used to react to albums, you know? Like, when in the age of CDs, you know, reviews were slower, because people had to actually go there and, like, line up and, like, buy a CD and rip the plastic off, which was really hard to rip off for some reason. They booby-trapped it. I don't know why they made it that way. They had, like, these plastic, you know, apparatus. Like, anyways, you have to rip it off, and then you have to, like, get it into a CD player, listen to the thing, and then you write something, but your modem's slow. And then, like, you know, it was still the age of print, so you waited like a week or two until, like, the first review came out. And then, like, you talked about it with your friends at school, and then, you know, the word spread. But now it's like, just a track list will generate so much response and so much, like, conversation. And they haven't heard any of the music yet. And I think it might affect certain producers or musicians, right? Because if people are making up their minds just based off, like, who's featured or, like, you know, the name of the project or whatever, it's really hard to bring them away from what they are already, like, convinced of. And I liked your old stuff is something... okay, so whenever, like, a new Joker movie comes out... before Heath Ledger, it was, is he going to be able to top Jack Nicholson? He's never going to be able to top Jack Nicholson. And then after Heath Ledger, it's like, dude, we already have, like, the greatest, you know, Joker ever, Heath Ledger. Like, why do we need another Joker? You know, they're not going to do it justice. I think musically, that's like the equivalent of, like, I like his old stuff. I like your old stuff. And... a lot of musicians are obviously bothered by that because, for example, like Kanye, when he had that album, like a few albums back, Jesus. No, he had like, on Life of Pablo, he had like a song, like, you know, people want the old Kanye. And for you to make like a self, you know, conscious, like self-aware song like that means that like, it's bothering you, right? That people are saying, you know, I like your old stuff. And what a lot of musicians do is that they get so bothered by it that they will make an effort to go back to their, you know, old style. And the thing with that is I think that's a very dangerous thing to do. Because you're forcing yourself into like a state of mind and a state of time that has already passed. And it's okay for that to have passed. Everyone's time goes forward exactly the same. And but personally, when I hear stuff like that, I don't take it as like, a lot of musicians take that as like a you know, like something that hurts them or something. But I take it as a huge compliment. I'm like, dude, thank you for supporting me in 2006. Thank you for supporting the music I did in 2009 or 2011 or 2013. Like, thank you very much for still loving the old stuff that you're mentioning, right? Because that's great. And I don't think of my previous albums as something that no longer matters. To me, it's still in progress. All of my albums before the album I'm working on right now are just as immediate and relevant to me as, you know, because they're still being heard and people are still making opinions, still having opinions about it, which means that the album is still like a breathing thing. It's still evolving. And so I don't really think too much about when people say like, I like your old stuff. I think that's a compliment. Yeah. And hopefully I can make some of those people like my new stuff as well. Because there's a lot of people on the flip side who only know my new stuff and don't know any of my old stuff. And I know this because every show we do, the age remains constant, like the majority, which is strange, right? Like when we first started, the majority of our fans were like in their late, like teens to their early to possibly like middle of their 20s. Okay. That was our biggest, you know, age demographic. And 16 years has passed since then, but our demographic remains exactly the same. which means that, you know, new fans are coming in, right? And I get a lot of, like, tweets or, like, you know, just messages from fans where they are asking to be introduced to our prior work because they only know our recent album, which is a great thing, right? Which I'm very grateful for. But I'm saying, like, you know, people who like the old stuff, hopefully, you know, they will check out the new stuff too. And people who only know the new stuff, hopefully they will check out the old stuff too, because this all matters to me. I mean, this is all something I worked really hard on. And back to the Joker thing, I think it's possible to appreciate Jack Nicholson's Joker, Heath Ledger's Joker, and Joaquin's Joker, and even Jared Leto's Joker. It's totally okay to appreciate all of them at the same time in different ways, right? I mean, why must we compare the Jokers? Why must we compare the albums? Like, they're different, right? There's, you know, like J. Cole had a line. I think it was J. Cole. Like, why can't there be room for two legends, right? And I totally agree. Like, dude, everyone's got their own lane. And if we force everyone into one lane, I mean, it's fun watching the competition, but there's going to be a lot of car crashes. Just allow, there's enough, you know, space to have billions of lanes. And I don't know why I, you know, started spiraling into talking about this, but I think, yeah, the whole idea of, like, just, it's okay for these things to coexist. We don't have to keep comparing them and, you know, demeaning something to uplift another thing. And I think that's something I wanted to get at with this Joker thing. Because, yeah, because when that Heath Ledger announcement came out, I was like, dude, I don't know how he's going to do, but none of you do either. Let's wait a bit. You know, it could be bad, but it could be amazing. And it turned out amazing. And immediately they used that to compare every other Joker. Like, okay, Jared Leto's Joker. I don't know if you've seen Suicide Squad. Okay. Well, Jared Leto's Joker, guys, who, you guys have seen it, right? The people that have seen it are probably like, oh, that was weird. Okay. It's not like a critically acclaimed rendition of the Joker. But I'm saying, like, you know, a lot of it, though, was because he was also compared to the previous Jokers, you know? And he probably felt a lot of pressure, like, in his defense. Probably felt huge pressure and wanted to do it in a way where it was so different from the previous Jokers so that he wouldn't be compared, you know? But unfortunately, it made him more compared. But I'm saying that's probably something that was, like, weighing on his mind. And I'm talking about not just about, like, movies. I'm not just talking about, like, music. Everyone that's listening right now, there are things in your life that you can identify with, right? Like, it's impossible to always do the same thing over and over again, right? You're progressing. Like, time moves on. So you have to continue to do things at that moment. And, you know, you can't just hold on to your, like, glorious, like, golden age and never let go, because you will be stuck. And, well, I don't mean to take all of this, because I just wanted to talk about this Joker movie coming out because I'm excited. I don't know why I did a deep dive into all of this, but I think what I'm trying to say is, like, let's not compare everything to things that happened in the past, right? Like, let's look at the thing for what it is at that time and judge it on its own merit. And I think that applies to everything, right? Like, One of the things you say to, you know, one of the things that friends often say to each other, or like lovers very often say to each other, and I think we say it too many times, is you've changed, right? Well, obviously, I've changed. Time has changed. Look out the window. The world has changed. If we haven't changed at all, that means we're not growing, right? Of course, you know, in instances where you've changed for the worse, you know, that needs to be pointed out. I agree. But many times we just throw around the word you've changed because we have like a fixed idea of what was great, you know, those great highlight moments. And whatever we're looking at right now, like we're looking into the mirror, looking at myself, or like we're looking at our loved one or our, you know, boyfriend or girlfriend. And we're like, I remember like a highlight moment of this person a few years ago. I like the old you, you know, because that moment was great. But why can't that moment just be great? And also this moment be something else, right? Why must we compare the present, this moment in front of our eyes, to Jack Nicholson's Joker? Why must we do that? You know, let every Joker be its own Joker, and let yourself right now be yourself. You don't have to live up to your highlight reel. Okay? Don't do that. That's all I wanted to say. I don't even know if this makes logical sense, but when has the Tableau podcast ever made logical sense? And also, while I'm at it, I don't know if you enjoyed this episode, but even if you didn't enjoy it as much as the previous episodes, like any of the previous episodes, let this episode just be its own episode, dude. Just judge me on the merit of this episode. Don't talk about the old episode. I like the old episode. Anyways, I was looking at my DMs. Well, not my DMs. It's the Tableau podcast. And hey, there's a conspiracy theory, okay? With the Spider-Man meme going around, like, you know the Spider-Man meme where there's like, it's like an animated meme with Spider-Man pointing at another Spider-Man, like the identical like clone of himself? Okay, people are saying that I am running the Tableau podcast, like IG or Twitter or whatever, and I am like tweeting to me my blow by blow, and I'm responding as blow by blow. So I'm like playing all of it like a puppet master. Well, okay, I don't have the time to do it. I can't run the Tableau podcast Twitter and IG. I have to run a company. I'm running a company. I'm like, you know, doing multiple shows in like various different countries, you know. And I'm also like working on music. I'm doing this podcast. I'm like raising a daughter. You know, I am like building a beautiful life with my wife. Like I have many, many things. I'm like trying to set up a new studio where I can like, you know, work on stuff. Like there's just a lot going on. Okay. And actually, oh shit. I just realized that like me over explaining this situation is just feeding the conspiracy. Yeah. Oh my God. I'm a master of conspiracy theories, by the way. Like I used to be a huge like conspiracy theory buff. And, you know, I was actually at the center of a conspiracy once. So I have like this personal, like intimate relationship of love and hate with this thing called conspiracy. And one of the things that like, if you ever want to, like deflect like conspiracy theories, like if you don't want conspiracy theories to get out of control, one of the things you got to do is you can't over explain yourself. Okay, like, and even if you're totally justified and you have facts and you got to say them, right? Because you don't want people to like, you know, make up things. But if you over explain, it just creates, it just feeds the fuel. So you got to have a simple explanation. And I just totally fed the conspiracy, dude. I over explained. Oh my God. Okay, let me do it again. It's not me. I simply don't have the time. I'm just too busy. Yeah.
You just lowered your own deposition.
Yeah, I don't even care. I don't even care about the conspiracy. What? What conspiracy? I'm talking to myself on Twitter? Makes no sense. Anyways, before we close, there was a DM that was a call to action. So, Dead Oaks. Okay, that's a grim. That's a pretty grim handle. Dead Oaks says, "Here's a super original and spectacular idea for the podcast." Actually, it's not original at all, but really fun is what she says. "How about you ask your fans and listeners for their most embarrassing stories and then read them out loud and share some of your own embarrassing stories?" Well, I'm pretty sure I started off this podcast with a pretty embarrassing story on the Brussels incident, episode 2. Here I am plugging my old episode. Go check that out if you haven't. But anyways, that's going to be interesting. DM us your most embarrassing stories. And if they're hella funny, that's a plus. I've had many, 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 many embarrassing moments. But I'm very good with embarrassment. Like, I went to a Starbucks in Terano, which is like a very busy place. And it was like during lunchtime. So like all these people that were working at different companies there, they were gathered at that Starbucks. And I was bringing out like this tray with the cups and taking it out. And as soon as I walked out, I fell like really bad. Coffee flying everywhere. And I just landed on my ass. Like my ass and my back, like just floored on the ground, and people were like walking by, and it was like a huge crowd, right? And here's like Tableau in broad daylight, just fucking on the ground. And the thing is, I realized in that split second that if I get up right away or try to get up right away, it's gonna look awkward. It's gonna look goofy. Right? Because there's coffee all over me. And, you know, I'm like flustered. So as I was falling, I was like, this is going to hurt, but not as much as the embarrassment. Okay? The embarrassment is always worse than the pain when you fall in situations like that. So I was like, this is going to be embarrassing. So I, boom, get down, coffee flying everywhere, all over my face, all over my body. I'm like, oh, God. And people are like, and I just stayed on the ground for a good while. I just stayed there and I just looked into the sun. And I'm like, I'm fine. I'm like fine right here. I am perfectly confident about like my place in the world right now with my back and ass to the ground. And if any of you are like laughing at me, you know, whatever. I'm perfectly happy with where I am right now. And I was just lying there and no one laughed. They were like, okay. They just walked by. Some people were stepping over me. It was fine. Anyways, I'll see you guys next week.